all of you also. Well, not all of you, but...
One of the special functions in our networks, which I forgot to tell you about, is our community service network. This network can be accessed either by computer or by voice phone. Essentially, it's a list of services that provide legal referral, crisis pregnancy referral, food, medicine, clothing, transportation, employment assistance, all kinds of services. And the way it works is really kind of simple. Mrs. Smith down on the corner, a few blocks from where you live, is an 83-year-old woman, and she needs to get to the doctor every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, but she can't drive, and so she needs help. Somebody in the neighborhood, or a relative, or a friend who may know about this and know also about the DCS affiliate in the area code can place a call to that system and say, this lady needs some help. Well, we send out either a volunteer or an employee to investigate and say, Mrs. Smith, do you in fact need a ride to the doctor at 3 o'clock on Friday? And she says, yes, sir, I certainly do, and I'd appreciate it if you could help me with this. We then place notice of that on the system, and every subscriber who calls the system after the notice is placed has the opportunity to respond to that. Thus, somebody that lives maybe 3 or 4 blocks away says, well, wait a minute, I work nights. I'm off on Friday. I can take Mrs. Smith back and forth to the doctor. I've seen her out there in her yard cutting her bushes, and I'd like to help. Again, they call the system, and we send out the same need request investigator who first made contact with Mrs. Smith, and they verify that she, in fact, needs a ride, and they make the connection between Mrs. Smith and the ride, and we've met a community need without any assistance from Big Brother. But that list of services there, right now it's about 16 different services. As I mentioned, the food and medicine and clothing, transportation and job assistance, etc. There's a package of 16 separate services, and you don't need a computer to access them. And by the way, that list of services is free. There is no charge whatsoever for that service. Now, a lot of people by now are wondering what this great and wonderful device and system is going to cost them. It isn't $300 an hour, as Lexis and Westlaw charge. It's actually $100 a year. That is for all services. The total subscription is $100 a year. And that provides you with 2 hours a day of access. There is virtually no limit to how much time that you can spend on the system. There is no limit to the amount of files that you can download that are not proprietary. We're going to have a lot of shareware or freeware software available, word processors, spreadsheets, utilities, games, and things of that nature that you can download off the system for nothing. There is no limit to the amount that you can download, only the size of your hard drive, your storage devices, or how many floppy disks you can buy limits you as to how much you can have. The cost of an affiliate system originally was about $90,000 4 years ago. Now we've gotten the cost of a complete affiliate computer system down to less than $20,000. However, recognizing the fact that most of the patriots have paid just something less than the ultimate price, and they're virtually broke, and by virtue of being jailed several times and standing for the faith, they've suffered a great deal in terms of economics. So we've essentially created a package in which we buy the systems for the affiliate, and then the affiliate buys those back from us interest-free at a figure of $500 a month. And we show the system through a marketing and sales program that we've developed. We teach the affiliate how to generate and create his cash flow. For example, in our area here, we've got about 400,000 people in our within a 20-mile radius of where our system is located. We expect, based on our experience with other such systems, we fully expect to recruit simply by placing notices on other bulletin boards and databases in our area code. We fully expect to recruit 400 subscribers at $100 a year in the first 90 days of a system's existence. Now, with a $40,000 gross income in the first quarter of a system's operation, it doesn't take, it's not a severe strain on their budget, to pay a $500 rental or lease fee. It's interest-free, there are no extra charges, and the system hardware and software is not marked up at retail level. It's only marked up enough to cover our costs, because our goal is not to own the system nationally. Our goal is to decentralize it so that the systems are owned by individual entities, persons, advocate, common law advocate groups, patriot groups, etc., across the country. We're not interested in owning 130 computer systems across the country. Doesn't serve our interests or anyone else's. Besides, if you took us out and we owned all 130 systems, you'd take the system offline. But if all 130 systems are owned by separate individuals, it's going to be a little bit tougher to do. Beginning in January 4th of the next year, that's about 2.5-3 weeks away, we're going to begin a series of presentations in California at various groups. The presentations themselves are being sponsored by essentially movers and shakers, guys that have proven themselves in combat, guys that have proven themselves in terms of their ability to marshal resources and people and get them together. And we're going to start making presentations of the system package, and we're going to try to recruit 260 people who will buy a 5-year subscription, normally costing $500, for $250. With 260 people purchasing a $250 discount subscription, we will have the $65,000 we need to begin putting systems online, the first three in California. The fourth system will go online in Arizona. We have commitments already for 21 area codes. And when I say commitments, that means that we have already identified and established a working relationship with individuals who are leaders of constituency.
DJ.
Sometimes they're heads of church groups, sometimes they're head of...
I would suggest that any of you wishing to participate in this system, don't go down there in your own name. Each one of you should, by now, be having a corporation. Start doing business out of your corporation. It lays a paper trail. It also is a lot harder to interfere with a Nevada corporation than it is to shut off your system, because they are then getting in trouble with a commercial business. Use what we have given you as the tools, please. I know everyone is getting restless. I want you to think on these things that have been presented to you. There'll be other conferences. We'll bring those to you. Our ones are represented by the Liberator, so that it is all done properly with a proper paper trail, the proper representation. We've been given great tools with which to work, and ones have experience now enough to be able to utilize these tools and help you. And I know that we're tired. So do we have Soltec's writings present?
Yes, we do, Commander.
Then I'd like to ask Dr. Young to share those with us. He is usually in touch with the receiver for Soltec when Norma is not writing for him. And this is very current information. And for your information, you know, I honor ones who serve. I'm careless about recognizing ones who not only come without remuneration to serve, but literally pay for the abuse. And Dr. Young's one of them. I think he's a masochist or some sort. But when you get this job finished, friends, I believe that within your souls, every step of the way will have been worth it. and most certainly I honor you. So let's share Soltec's writings on these current earthquakes and things, because you need to keep up scientifically so that you understand what's going on. And then we'll bring this to a close.
Hey, there are actually three Soltec writings this week. The first one you'll see in the paper, and these will probably make it this week. There's been a lot of geophysical activity of one kind or another, as Commander Hatton mentioned earlier in the afternoon. This is the second writing, and the third one I just received almost at noon today, having to do with this massive earthquake in Indonesia. So this is the second writing that is from Friday, December 11th. Good evening, Soltec present. I come on behalf of and in service unto the Holy God of Light. I come to bring truth to your Earth Shan regarding the Earth changes, what is occurring, why it is occurring, and as often as possible, how it is occurring. The latter at times cannot be told to you ones because of security reasons, for there are so many among you who would see this as a threat to themselves and would take retaliatory actions against you ones. This we will not put you in jeopardy. We will not have you do this unless there is no other alternative. Ours is not to put you in jeopardy, but rather to bring as many as will hear through this cycle of your time. The only defense you ones have is to be well informed and prepared for the changes that are coming upon your planet. I wish to acknowledge the note of appreciation of Commander Hatton for filling in for him on Friday last. And as an aside, I'll say that has to do with Dharma and Oberly being quite busy with other matters, and we put Soltec on the hotline last Friday, Commander Hatton's request. That's what this is attention to. As a kettle grows hotter and the attentions are required in many areas, I assure you that his fellow crewmen are more than willing to pick up the slack, so to speak, for we work as a team and are more than willing to serve in whatever capacity is needed. Our goals are the same, and we come in total commitment to mission and love for you ones of Earth Shan. My messages will most times deal with the geophysical sciences and Earth changes, but it is still part of the same mission. I thank you ones for your warm reception of the information brought forth by myself and my scribe, Callie. Realizing that the information I bring will differ in focus from that of Commander Hatton, Sananda, or Germain. However, each role has its own purpose and each has its place. But the basics remain unchanged from message to message because all come from Holy God. Before we begin with the planned subject, let us address the strange storms that have been battering your eastern states the past few days. That which has struck in the state of New Jersey is exhibiting the destructive capacity of a hurricane. It is December, time for snow, not strong wind and rain. One area had waves coming off the Atlantic Ocean that went over the seawalls and flooded the town with up to 4.5 feet of water. Just last week, there was a storm in the same general area that brought winds up to 110 miles per hour. Does this not strike you ones as a little bit strange? In other areas, up to 36 inches of snow has fallen over a period of a day. Yet in other places, the temperatures are more like springtime than winter. Yes, I'm aware that your official winter does not begin for several more days. This is just another example of the fun and games that are being played with you ones. Our advice to you is to batten down the hatches and hold on tight. The ride is getting rougher every day. I will take a short time here to discuss once again California. You do seem to take the limelight most of the time, do you not? The subject is what your scientists have tagged the Palmdale Bulge. This so-called bulge is an anomaly known on your planet as an uplift, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a place where the ground is surging upward. It was discovered by scientists of the U.S. Geologic Survey approximately 12 years ago, It is thought to have developed during the 1960s or early 70s and is continuing even today. It has been rising and falling continuously since it was discovered, and the scientists' concerns are that it may be a precursor to a very large earthquake. It has risen as much as 35 centimeters and has fallen as much as 17 centimeters since its discovery. This bulge sits on the Big Bend area of the San Andreas Fault, with the greatest uplifting and falling being near Palmdale, California, which is, as you know, has had a fair share of seismic activity of late. This Big Bend area of the San Andreas Fault is where little or no tectonic creep occurs, and extreme amounts of stress tend to be relieved primarily by large earthquakes. Some of your scientists even fear that the activity of this uplift could be a major indicator that the big one is very near. And while the recent activity might be thought to have relieved some of the pressures, none of the earthquakes here have been great enough to release the stresses. That is why it is being watched so carefully now. The moderate shaking may merely be a building up to something much more devastating. Other scientists hold the theory that it might be a part of periodic behavior associated with mountain building or other processes that have not yet been recognized. This Big Bend area roughly stretches north to south from Bakersfield to Blythe, and the entire area has risen and fallen many times. This carries indications of some major movement taking place below the surface that can at best only be estimated by our scientists. Whether it is the precursor to the big one or an indication that mountain building is taking place, it is worthy of serious notation, especially for those who reside in the area. With all the activity that is going on in the western United States, it is time that you ones become familiar with your land and what is going on. You ones in this area are basically living on borrowed time here. The earthquakes that have been occurring over the past several months can no longer be considered aftershocks of those that took place well over 6 months past. You who continue to believe this are merely deceiving selves. You believe it because it is more comfortable than facing the fact that a major catastrophe is looming over your heads. Because considering the latter would instill a sense of absolute fear within you. The only way to get rid of the fear is to face it, come to terms with it, and move on, either mentally or physically. Denial of the inevitable is very foolish. If you do not intend to leave the area, then at the very least get yourselves prepared. Getting right with God, education, and knowledge will be your strengths as we move on. Burying your head in the sand only has one effect. It leaves the other end exposed. The controllers of your world are not going to suddenly wake up one morning and have a change of heart and stop tormenting you. It is not in their agenda. They are not going to stop until they have accomplished their goal, which is to do away with as many of you as they feel is necessary. The rest are slated to become their slaves. The more you become educated and knowledgeable about their activities, the more power you have to divert their activities and keep yourselves from falling prey to their assaults. They have great hopes of keeping you deceived, and so far a great number of you are living up to their expectations. Please understand that once their tactics are exposed, their ability to assault you ones is severely weakened. Why do you think we go to all this trouble every week to inform you of as many of their dirty tricks as we can? It certainly is not because we and our ground crew do not have better things to do with our time, or that we derive enjoyment out of depressing and scaring you. We are doing it to try and wake you up and get you informed in hopes that you will pick up the load and take the responsibility of changing your world. Another effect has been taking place in many parts of California, and that is liquefaction of the ground. This is transformation of water-saturated granular material from a solid state to a liquid state, resulting from an increase in the pore water pressure. This is a result of intense or continuous shaking, and in parentheses, or scalar beams. These can cause liquefaction of near the surface, water-saturated silts, and sands, which cause the materials to lose their shear strength and begin to flow like a liquid. As a result of liquefaction, three types of failures are possible. One, landslides on even moderate slopes. Two, laterally spreading landslides on gentle or nearly flat slopes, which is accompanied by the ground pulsating with the quaking, quite often with cracks, fissures, and settling. And three, quick condition failures, which is characterized by bearing capacity loss. This causes buildings to tilt and sink into the liquefied sediments, like in the mud or in the quicksand. And quite often, buried tanks or other objects float to the surface. Landslides can be an extremely hazardous byproduct of earthquakes and can cause the loss of many lives, especially in mountainous or very hilly areas. You have seen what can occur with the intense rains and mudslides in Southern California. Consider rocks and soil becoming avalanches during a severe earthquake. With the heavy population of this area, thousands could be buried alive by tons of rock, soil, and other debris. The overpopulation of cities such as Los Angeles and San Francisco make these places virtual death traps. There are no open areas in which ones can get away from the toppling and crumbling of buildings and other man-made structures. These are the things that will cause the greatest numbers to ultimately perish. In urban areas, you also have an extreme danger of fires occurring from earthquake activity as electrical lines break. There will be explosions and toxic gases from broken gas lines. There will be no police departments or fire departments or 911 assistance. There will not be electricity or running water or handy ATM machines. You will learn what life is like in many of the third world nations, literally overnight. This is not some science fiction movie scenario. These are the bare facts of what you can expect to happen in a major earthquake situation. Long after the initial shaking stops, you will be left dealing with such things. This comes from man not understanding his planet. Man of Earth has adopted the attitude that the Earth is his to dominate and control, and that has included misuse of the natural resources and defiance of the natural order. When the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock some 300 odd years ago, they brought with them a concept that had never been known on this continent: private ownership of land. The Native American peoples had no concept of such a thing, for they believed that they were only tenants of the land and that no one could ever own it. The Native Americans' bond to the land was religious in nature, and they held a spiritual kinship with all of nature, not the idea of exclusive possession. Theirs was a deep affection and appreciation for the land and all of nature. The early white settlers of this nation looked upon the continent with the idea of superabundance. That assumes that the land and resources are inexhaustible, and that any management of resources was unnecessary. They came from roots which believed that people, not land, had to be managed. That attitude still prevails today. That very same attitude is proving to be the downfall of mankind on Earth. You continue to build in the dangerous areas. You continue to pollute your air, water, and ground. You continue to raise your forests. You build more and more weapons of destruction. And for what? You claim it is to make your lives more comfortable, to make more money, to defend your land and others, etc. But what have you really? What have you if you destroy your planet? Chalas, it is the only one you have. We are not here to rescue you from your own messes. That you have to deal with yourselves. What legacy do you leave for your children, for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Would you have them suffer because you have no self-discipline, because you were grabbing all the gusto? What will their inheritance be? Will they even be? What do you truly require? What is your real purpose in physical existence? Is it only to grab as much as you can while you're here? What responsibility do you have to the order of the universe? Earth is not an island. It is a very small part of a very large universe. Will it take its place among the rest of the universe, or will its inhabitants cause its death? These are questions which you should be asking yourselves this day, for it is your responsibility, not another's. No one else can do it for you, not God, not the hosts, only you with the help of God. I told you early on that many of the messages I would bring forth would not be pleasant. I wish that it could be different, for there are so many other things I would desire to talk about. However, we do not have the luxury of taking our eyes and minds off that which is hanging over your earth at this point in time. As always, we stand ever with you, holding you close. Face that which faces you, for that which you resist shall persist. Come unto God and stop resisting that for which you have come here. Get yourselves quiet and go within and find that place in which is all-knowing. For each has within self the ability. You are a spiritual being first. Remember that. This physical experience is not your true essence, but a vehicle to your spiritual growth. Consider he that created you, for in this shall you find peace and truth. God has never turned away from man. Man has turned away from God, and in his turning away has he created the chaos that surrounds him. Quietly consider these things, meditate upon them, and find the truth for selves. This is the way in which you shall come into the knowing. Peace be unto you. Soul tech to clear. Salu. Now, the second one's a shorter one.
I'm going to have to give that man a promotion. I do. I salute him. He's a friend. We've walked together for a long, long time. His name is Antonios. And you with us go a long way back also. And I salute you once. Continue, please, Ed.
Okay, the writing that just was completed this morning before noon from Soltec. Good morning, my child. Ceres Antonius Soltec present in the light of Holy God of Creation. There is yet another incident that has occurred, and we shall endeavor to address it. I told you just last week that your job would be increasing, and alas, it is. You of Earthshan have entered the time foretold for many years of the changes upon this place. These things shall only increase from now on, and our job grows more pressing. Your non-news will seldom give you the whole or true reporting of these changes as they occur, and they will never tell you the why of it. On your yesterday, there occurred a major earthquake in the eastern Pacific Ocean at a place known as Indonesia, on the island of Flores. Your scientists are not in agreement as to the size, as one reports it being at 7.5 and the other reports it at 6.8. There is a tremendous difference between the two, about a factor of 50, by the way. However, to those whose lives were affected, it matters little what the official reports are. All they know is that it occurred, and they live with the effects of it. I shall tell you that it was a lot closer to the 7.5 than the 6.8. It was extremely strong. The loss of life is now estimated around 1,200 to 1,800. Indonesia is positioned at 120 degrees longitude and 10 degrees latitude south, and on your maps it is part of the... Oh, I'm not even going to say this. It lies off the southeast coast of Asia, north of Australia. There are many islands that make up Indonesia. Many often include the Philippine Islands, New Guinea. Flores is part of what is known as the Lesser Sunda Islands, along with Bali. Lombok, Zambala, Sumba, and Timor west to east. Prior to 1950, Indonesia belonged to the Netherlands and was known as the Dutch East Indies, after which it claimed its independence. Flores is one of the easternmost islands of the Lesser Sunda Islands and lies just north of the Java Trench. This trench stretches from the Andaman Sea off the coast of Thailand to south of Sumatra and east to the Timor Sea near the island of Timor. Most of the Indonesian islands are very mountainous, most of which are volcanic, many active, so volcanic eruptions and earthquakes are quite frequent and often severe in this area. Indonesia is, of course, part of the Pacific Ring of Fire. As we wrote several weeks ago, the eastern side of the Pacific Ocean, your western United States, is not the only place to keep watch for geologic activity. The western side is, believe it or not, even more susceptible to activity. This is due to the possibility of volcanic activity erupting here. There are literally thousands of volcanoes both above and below water level. Also, remember that these islands are remnants of the ancient land of Lemuria, which will at some point rise again from the depths of the sea. The increased geologic activity in the area indicates that many undersea lands are beginning to rise as volcanoes erupt and push newly formed land masses upward. I mentioned the Java Trench for a reason. A trench is considered to be the lowest place on your Earth and marks the convergence of plates. As these plates come in contact with one another, one of the plates has a tendency to descend or subduct under the other. Along trenches, normally, you will find a belt of volcanic activity. The rocks and sediments are heated up due to the rise in temperature associated with such depths, as well as from the friction that is generated by the grinding together of the two crashing plates. Eventually, melting of the crust of the downward-moving plate and the mantle will occur. If oceanic crust passes over oceanic crust, which occurs because both of these plates have a crust, the magma caused by this melting will rise up and erupt in chains of volcanoes. This is what you have in Indonesia and in the Aleutian Islands off the coast of Alaska. These activities are responsible for the numerous earthquakes that are experienced in these areas. This action over many eons also produces new mountains, which will eventually rise from beneath the water. Lemuria went down during one cycle of volcanic activity and will arise again in another cycle of volcanic activity. Remember the basic law of God, the in-breathing and out-breathing, the ever-ongoing cycle of birth and death. The same is true for all elements in the universe, for all things in the universe must adhere to the same natural laws. There is no getting around it. Yes, most of the earthquake activity taking place on your world today has been either directly or indirectly caused by man. Direct causation is such as what occurs when a blast hits a certain area and immediately an earthquake is produced. Indirect is when a blast occurs in one area, stimulating some seismic activity immediately, and then later, perhaps weeks or months later, some other seismic activity takes place, quite often in a different location altogether. It is, however, difficult for man to cause earthquakes in places which are not unstable to begin with. It can be done, but it takes much longer because they first must blast it to a state of instability, and this can take a lot of time depending on what type of land they're dealing with. Solid granite will take much longer to break down than, say, sandstone or limestone. Because of this, your elite are pretty much sticking to the places where they know they can do the greatest amount of damage with the least amount of effort. The Pacific Ring of Fire is the ideal playground for their mischief because of its inherent instability. There are literally thousands of unstable areas here to play around with. The whole mess of man-caused earthquakes began as an experiment in your 1960s. When scientists discovered in Colorado that they could affect the seismic activity by raising and lowering the level of water in earthquake-prone areas. The more water, the less seismic activity. The less water, the more seismic activity. Originally, your scientists wanted to use this new discovery to stabilize areas that are prone to such activity. Unfortunately, the elite got hold of the experiments, refined the technology, and brought it up into your electronic age. Now you have satellites that regularly blast pre-programmed areas. You see, the whole thing is quite a feat on their part. And if you can stand back and view it from a purely scientific viewpoint, it has been quite an accomplishment on their part. First, they learned how to control your weather using Tesla's technology. They created droughts, which in turn depleted the water table. This then, in such places as California, had the effect of increasing the geologic instability. Now they can sit up in space and blast you and you shake like crazy. So once again, the elite have taken what might have been a benefit to mankind and turned it into a source of destruction used against you, the people. As we have told you over and over again, they are not above using whatever means they can steal or create on their own to get rid of you or bring you into a total state of submission to them. Ethics are not a problem for them, for they have none, save whatever serves them best. Yet they are but puppets of the great puppet master. The adversary's battle is with God, but you are the pawns that he uses in his game, for you as free will agents are God's greatest creation, and the adversary hates you because of it. It is the age-old battle that has been going on for eons. Hatred is very powerful and is the absolute opposite polarity of love. Hatred destroys and love creates. Love attracts and hatred repels. From a scientific standpoint, love compresses or promotes life because it draws and pulls together. Hatred decompresses, loses life, because it causes disunity. It breaks apart. For further explanation of this, please get hold of the Pleiades Connection series of journals. Germain's explanation is much greater than I am able to do justice to. We shall close this writing as our original purpose was to bring to you the report and explanation of the major earthquake of yesterday in Indonesia. Yet it is difficult to only report that which occurs without greater explanation of cause and effect. It is, you know, the scientist's way of doing things. Also, it is important that you understand the why as well as the what. Keep with you the shield of protection as the games your elite are playing are entering full swing now. You draw near to the close of yet another year, and the elite have a deadline to meet. They take deadlines very seriously and serve in their capacity to their master with great vigor. We must be as conscientious, or preferably more so than they are. Peace to you who serve with the host, and unto God of light, Soltec to clear, salut.
We have about 2 minutes left on this tape.
Fine. Thank you, Ed. And to Kelly, I want to give my appreciation and my observation of a scribe grown tremendously to be able to put aside the fact that she is unknowing and allow the teacher to give his lessons is growth indeed. And I thank you, child. I want to thank you ones who bring the flowers, for as you give them unto her, so have you given them unto me. And I thank you. And for you ones in the gardening business, I told you I would give you yield. Go with that which the local gardeners can help you with. You will not need to heavily plant. Remember that you're in a land where too much will drain the soil and use the water. Don't get uptight about the red lentils. They'll do just fine. We have to remember that our efforts should be to those things which produce the most whole product with the elements which sustain you in very good health. And they may not be quite as easy to raise, but I think you won't find much difference. I'm honored to serve with you. I'm humbled to serve with you. Whatever little human differences there may be, they matter not in the overall. You're stuck with them. That's part of it. I cherish you greatly. And I'm so pleased to be allowed service with you. Go in peace. Thank you, and salut.